Pickaxe Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
And welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5, hour number two. Thank you for staying with us. Still to come at the bottom of the hour, Dale Jackson from WVNN will be with us. We also got Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran. He'll be with us in the next hour. And Congressman Mo Brooks from Alabama's 5th Congressional District. Make sure that you stay tuned. Stay glued to your radio, ladies and gentlemen, if at all possible. Joining us now, it's our usual Monday guest. We moved him around, attending to important matters of state policy making and politics. State Representative Matt Simpson from Daphne is in studio with us. Representative, how are you this morning?
Doing good, Jeff. Glad to be back. You know, I hate to miss last week, but I listened, and Representative Brett Easterbrook did a great job on the show.
Yeah, well, it was good to get him on. Keeping it... talking about roads and bridges and things of that nature. So very important to a lot of us, because I assume a lot of you listening are probably riding around in your car somewhere and know the trauma of traffic, or get behind a logging truck or something like that. Trust me, I feel your pain. Representative, we could talk about Alabama football this time.
Our last conversation.
If you would like to, I guess things related to Alabama, we're still in the throes of COVID-19. Mayor Maddox shutting down bars for 2 weeks seems to be, to a lot of people, that seems to be a big step. But the governor extending the mask ordinance till October, they are convinced what they are doing now is working, and the numbers are going in the right direction because of that.
You know, I think the mask, more people wearing the mask is working. I don't disagree that the numbers are going down with that. Walt Maddox, I hate to break it to the mayor of Tuscaloosa, but if you ban students from going to bars, college students are probably going to find a way to drink and party without going to that bar. I don't think you'll be able to separate them.
Is there any, you went to Alabama, do you get bars in Northport?
I never went to a bar in Northport. I can tell you, I don't know the answer to that. Now, Tuscaloosa has changed tremendously since I was there. I graduated in 2002, so in the past 20 years, it's been changed tremendously. I don't know any about the bars in Northport, but when I was there, my wife, one of the big things that my wife's sorority did was we took a trip down to Fonsdale, the Fonsdale Bar and Grill.
Oh, that's a great place,
yeah. That was one of the things to go to. So, I mean, college kids are going to find a place to go at the end of the day to go have fun and celebrate. I think part of the worries that they're doing with these numbers is they're putting the numbers out of the people that have contracted the disease, and I understand that and I get that, but I think we need to focus more on the people that are affected by it. How many people does this really are suffering from this? How many people, you know, are hospitalized? How many people are dying? How many people are suffering tremendously from this, more so than just, hey, everybody has it, even if you don't feel it, you're asymptomatic? I think if we just continue to focus on asymptomatic numbers, that's not really going to help the situation.
Right. And because initially, back in April, when all of these ideas were put forth, it was about lowering the curve, taking the burden off the hospitals. Now we have clearly transitioned. The policy is to limit the infections, and it's no longer about hospitals, and that you can't do that. The way they're counting these asymptomatic cases isn't necessarily tied to the hospitals. I guess it could be inevitably if you're interacting with somebody who's vulnerable. But clearly we've had a shift in direction to what our goals are, even though they're not, I would say, not as clearly stated as I would like.
No, I agree. I don't think anybody knows what – I'll be honest, I don't think anybody knows what the goals are right now. Nobody knows what the outcome that they're going to say, okay, hey, we've crossed the hurdle on this. I don't think anybody has that number in mind. I don't think there's a formula. I don't think there's a prescription, if you will. Other than now, it just seems like everybody's just waiting for the vaccine. And it seems to be that's the stance that we're going to have is, well, once we get a vaccine, everything will go better. And then I just – I don't know. It's interesting – those goalposts tremendously have moved. It went, like you're saying, it went from let's not overload the hospitals, flatten the curve, 30 days to flatten the curve, flatten the curve, flatten the curve. Well, now we're, well, I guess, 5 months into 30 days to flatten the curve, and we still haven't seen a glimpse of, okay, what does this look like? What is the other side of this incident look like? It's the masks have worked. I'm not a big proponent of the mask, you know, requirement. I'm not a big proponent of the order, but you know, the mask have gone down as far as the transmissions in the community. So I guess that's what everybody's going to harp on and say, hey, congratulations, we'll pat ourselves on the back, and the mask worked.
Well, here's the way it seems like this is being approached. They did get in a room every 30 days. The governor, state health officer, some of the governor's staff. Well, what can we get away with politically? What's the max amount we could get away with politically to lower our COVID statistics? And they look at it, is it a mask? Well, obviously, they're not going to get away with shutting down businesses again. That's off the table. So what can we do to get these? And it's all about that dashboard and the statistics and the infections and where it's really lacking, it seems. What are you trying to achieve? Just tell people that. I think if they said, you wear the mask, you don't go to bars, you stay at home, do the best you can, and if we get to this number, we're going to ease up on some of this. And people might be willing to work towards something than just be told what to do. You don't know what's good for you. We do this, and that's all there is to – that's all we got to say about it.
You know, we talk about the health experts and what they know. I am impressed that they know that the COVID transmission stops 11:30 p.m. That's impressive to me. You know, you can be in a bar till 11, but if you're there at 11:30, that's when the COVID's coming out. So it's troublesome when you have that.
Well, that's the ABC board making policy. You have a group of bureaucrats that are supposed to be responsible for liquor or alcohol making healthcare calls, making medical policy, which is, that doesn't seem to really be right.
No, I agree with you. It's not right. You know, we have given so much power, so much authority. You know, it's taken this to kind of bring some of the highlights of what is in our Constitution, what laws we have, what amendments we've made. You know, some of this 1950 stuff that that the legislature passed in the 50s to give the executive powers to the governor. I think we're looking at that stuff now. We're looking in all that and saying, hey, whoa, now this has been expanded way beyond what we think the original intent was. So I think that's something that's absolutely going to be looked at whenever it is we do go back into session. You know, I got elected, Jeff. I got elected in November of 2018, and I've had the impending looming of a special session since the day after the election. You know, from the first day after the election, everybody was wondering, was it going to be, are we going to have a special session on the Rebuild Alabama Act? We didn't do that. We ended up having a special session the first day of the 2019 legislative session. After the 2019 legislative session was gone, it was, okay, we're going to come back this summer, and we're going to have a special session on prisons, and we're going to focus on prisons and come back. So that lasted all summer, and then we found out, no, we're not coming back for a special session. And then we get in 2020, and we go and have the COVID break, and we've been told, you know, hey, when we're leaving, the governor is willing to call a special session whenever we need to. Whatever we want to do, we'll be ready for a special session. So we thought we would be in special session all summer.
It's like perpetual threat of special session, right?
Absolutely, and it hasn't happened. I don't know that there's a clamoring of people to say, hey, legislature of Alabama, get back in Montgomery and do something, because there's, you know, Alabama.
That's traditional, yeah, because we limit the amount of time the legislature meets because we, you know, you guys down there hobnobbing and passing a bunch of laws telling us how to run our lives. But I keep making this point, without the legislative branch in the game here, you create a void, you create a vacuum, and that vacuum for right now is being filled by the executive.
I think you're exactly right. I stand ready and willing to to serve at the pleasure of the people. You know, I don't have a say-so in whether or not we get a special session. In the event a special session is called, I am more than willing to go up there, and I will be there. However, it's not just about me, Jeff, and I've got to, you know, it's tough to understand that. We have, in the House of Representatives, we have 105 members. Many of those members have been affected by COVID personally. Family members have been affected by COVID. We've had deaths of family members by COVID. So there's a lot of people that are reluctant to go back. There's a lot of people in that age range where they are at risk, so they're reluctant to go back, and it's tough to tell them, hey, you're going to have to decide what you want to do, either go on for your family or go in and serve the state. It's tough to put them in that predicament. It's tough to say, hey, we're in a building, you know, I know the state house has been talked about in the stuff, but it is really not accessible to the public or us or anyone in general. especially during this 6 feet of time. If you have to stay 6 feet away from somebody in that state house, you can't walk. I mean, the hallways are crowded. Our desks are right on top of each other. There is no way in the world that they can get us into that building in this environment right now and have people there. You know, it's not just us. It's the staff as well. Staff members have suffered from this.
What would be the priority? What would be, you got prisons, you got economic development, you got taxation, which has gotten a big push here lately. Special session, yeah, sure, but what should be the priority of a special session if Ivy so chose to call in?
How long do you have? You know, we've got so many issues that are out there. First and foremost is going to be this COVID liability. We need to make sure that we need to protect these businesses so that they cannot get sued for something that happens in their premises that they can't control if somebody gets COVID who was in their business. We need to focus on the PPP loans and making sure that anybody that got a PPP loan is not taxed, is not based on taxable income from that. The issue you're looking at going through there is, okay, well, business taxes are starting to get prepared now. By the time we go in session in February, if we can get a bill passed immediately that won't take effect into March, by then you're in tax return. So some people have already filed their tax return.
Right.
So if we wait till the beginning of the year, we're struggling on that issue. Prisons is a huge issue, but I think they're going to wait on that as well. I think the governor is trying to take that on her own. I don't expect us to be called back into a special session on prisons.
But she's going to go at it on her own with this build these things on her own and claim. Mm-hmm. I think for a lot of people are very skeptical, a lot of your colleagues, that the cost savings will pay for themselves, which is seems weird, but we've heard that before.
I don't agree with that at all. There's no way the cost savings on there's no way the cost savings are going to pay for themselves. That's just a misnomer to the people. I'll tell you right now, we have 21,000 people that are in the Department of Corrections custody right now in the Alabama prisons. The new prisons that are going to be built, there are three new prisons. Two of those prisons will be 3,000 beds. Another one of those prisons will be a 4,000 bed. So you have 10,000 beds that are going to be built for these 21,000 prisoners. I don't understand how you can save cost. Where are these other 11,000 prisoners going to go? If you're saving costs by shutting down prisons, well, then those prisoners have to go somewhere else. It's not going to be just by saving it down. I don't believe that's going to be the situation here. So you've got prisons to deal with. You have the economic incentives that are going to expire on December the 31st that we have to get through for some of this, for some of these large companies and large corporations. That doesn't really affect the individual citizen as much, but there are a number of people that do work in these manufacturing jobs and do have these opportunities to come in. And you know, we've got places in Baldwin County that are looking for economic development, so those incentives are important to have in. Not to mention, Jeff, we still have issues from the beginning of session last year that we didn't cover. We still have these powers, executive powers of the governor that we have, that are going to be addressed whenever we come back into session, whether the governor wants us in or not. When we come in February, they will be addressed. Somebody will have a file on there. I want to say Senator Whatley already has a bill drafted
right
on that.
Well, he tried to get it at the end of last year, right?
Yeah, and that was just the end of last year was nobody knew what was going on. You know, we were in session on that Thursday, March 12th, and the next thing we know, we're sent home for spring break, and then we're told we're not coming back, and it just extends and extends until May, and when we come back, we're just dealing with budgets. So we went back and on the impression of we're just dealing with budgets, and that's fine. That's what we did. But we were saying, hey, if we, like I said, they said, whenever we need a special session, the governor's willing to call us into a special session. And that's a decision that leadership is there to make. You know, that's why he's the Speaker of the House. That's why Senator Pro Tem Del Marsh is there to make those decisions. That's why the governor, at the end of the day, it's her call. So if they're called, I am ready and willing to serve the people of Alabama.
Because we had Senator Marsh on last week, and he seemed to be very very down on the idea. And he put it on the House for not really being interested in coming to work, which I don't know.
I don't know. You know, we've got different problems than they do. You know, there's only 35 senators. They have a lot more space in their room. They're spaced out. They're
right.
Spread out. It's easier.
Much more difficult logistically. We got to take a quick break. We'll talk about this on the other side. This is the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5.
Lost the one thing money couldn't buy that it never was. Cause you see, I'm a dinosaur. I should have died out a long time before. Have pity on a dinosaur.
And welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Just got a few moments remaining with our good friend, State Representative Matt Simpson. Always very grateful that he can make time to come in and talk to us on Mondays. Representative, you were talking about, I guess, special session and all that. And I was saying, Marsh is very down on the prospects. I think most people are. But he does it. His reasoning is not he's ideologically opposed to it. He just doesn't think that there's the will to have any kind of agreement or have get anything accomplished. Just wait until 2021, and that seems to be the best path forward.
Well, the problem with that theory, in my opinion, Jeff, of course, Senator Marsh has been doing this much longer than I have. 2021 is going to be absolutely crazy with all the issues we have to cover. We've talked about some of the issues for special session. On top of those issues, we have the bills that were not completed in 2020. So we've got a bunch of, everything just stopped. I think we passed 8 bills of significance in 2020 that had anything to do that weren't just local bills to get through. We have, you think of, the gambling issue did not just go away. The lottery issue did not just go away. The
gambling issue is going. There's a task force that's supposed to release a report at the end of the year.
So that's going to be taken up in 2021. You're also going to have issues. Medical marijuana issue is not just going to go away. The issue of prisons is not just going to go away, and the factors that we're looking for there. One thing I'm hopeful we can get is the mental health. We had a lot of bills going through about mental health last year that would have been tremendous for the state of Alabama. We've neglected this area. It's not been performing well. We've got to do something about mental health. I am hopeful. We had a day that was supposed to be set aside for Mental Health Day in the House that we did. But now those bills didn't make it to the Senate because it was cut short by COVID. So we need to have another mental health day. I'm pushing to get a mental health court in Baldwin County, a local bill from that. That's something that I'm pushing for. So mental health is an issue that we really need to address in this state. And just to continue to say 2021 will get all that, well, that's great and everything. But also, the elephant in the room in 2021 is going to be redistricting. We're going to have some type of, again, we've had the threat of special session ever since I got elected, but we're going to have something on redistricting. We've got to redraw these districts. We've got to figure out what's going to come back from the census numbers, how things go. Chris Pringle down here in Mobile, Mobile representative, has been busting his butt to work hard for the people to try to get some stuff done. We don't know the number of congressional districts. That's a state legislature issue, having to redraw those lines.
And there's already a very aggressive lobbying campaign on how those lines are going to be drawn already underway.
That's going to be a huge fight that we're going through. So if we just say, well, let's just push everything back till February of 2021, 2021 is going to be absolutely insane with everything that we have to cover and go through. Like I said, there's outstanding issues still there, new issues that may come up. Chip Brown's bill he had on Anaya's law on the bond before a conviction of a violent felony, on getting a bond before trial. Some of these things, these are significant issues that took up almost an entire day in the legislature. We only have 30 days to meet in the general session. That's all. From that 105 calendar days, we have to meet 30 days. There's the maximum we can meet in that 105 days. I can think of 30 issues right now that's probably going to take up that much time. Oh, by the way, we haven't talked about Confederate monuments yet. Oh, by the way, we haven't talked about what's going on in some of this other stuff. It's one of those things of, that's great, and I understand the reluctance to bring everybody back to Montgomery, and I understand the fear for that. But at the end of the day, we still got work to do. We've got a lot of work to do, and I am hopeful that we can get some of this work done for the people of Alabama.
Yeah, and I guess there's only so much you could do when there's no, you could still meet, have committee meetings, and get maybe things ready to go on day one.
Well, through the process, the bill has to be filed day one and read into the agenda through the calendar on day one. So you have to file that. Day two would have to be to go through to go to the committees.
And then
it's got to come back from the committee. So you're burning 3 to 4 days immediately. The first 3 to 4 days of session, nothing ever happens.
Matt, thanks for making time for us. We got to get out of here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Carry on, sweet Southern comfort. Carry on.